Merry Christmas. I am really grateful that you took part of this special day to spend with us here at Fairhaven Bible Chapel. We are grateful. So welcome. We are really glad you could be here for these baptisms and to celebrate with us. It is Christmas Day, and I realize most of you are probably done with your holiday shopping. There are still some of us diehards that are saying, it's still 2 hours before Grandma's house, so I don't want to send you into a panic with this question, but I just wanted to ask, if you got anything special for the judge in your life? Yeah, a judge. Judges are people. If you haven't gotten a traffic ticket or some situation where you've had to stand before a judge in your life, that's ever happened. I think it's a good experience if everyone could at least once in their life stand before a human judge, because it makes you think, first of all, it humbles you, and then it makes you think about our system of justice, and hopefully it makes you think about God's system of justice. And I can tell that you're still not tracking with me on that gift thing, so I did go online just to give you some suggestions of, you know, what's in for judges this year. Scales of justice are popular theme. You can get personalized scales of justice is put on paperweights or wine chillers. Very special glass gavel and sounding board available for $74.95. If you buy now. So why am I talking about this on Christmas? Well, because the title of the message is His Coming. And we're talking about Jesus, and we're celebrating the birthday of Jesus today. We don't know if it was today, but we know that He was born, and we're celebrating His birth. And I want to go through two passages that were written by the author Luke, one pretty well known and one not so well known. So since you're awake, let's start with a not so well known verse. Luke, this is not in the book of Luke, but it's the book of Acts, which Luke wrote. Acts 17, it's in your bulletin, Acts 17:26. And I'll read 26 and then I'll jump down to 30 and 31. Acts 17:26. This is talking about God. The Apostle Paul here is giving a speech, and he's talking about God, and he says, "And He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation." Jump down to 30. "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising Him from the dead." May God bless His reading of His Word. Luke wrote the book of Luke as kind of an investigative reporter, researching and interviewing people. But he wrote the book of Acts as an eyewitness. He actually traveled with the Apostle Paul, and what's happening here is Paul is on his third missionary journey. He is going through Macedonia, and he preaches. What happens is he preaches. People get angry, and they kick him out. And he goes to the next town, he preaches. People get angry. He's working his way down now into southern Greece. He's in Athens. And he's walked around this great city, this great ancient city. You can still go and see the ruins of Athens. And he uses one of their idols, since the city was full of idols, he uses that as his preaching point. And the idol that he used was an idol to an unknown God. So he said, okay, let me talk to you about the God that you don't know, who you're honoring with this idol. This is the God you don't know. He actually, from one man, created all of the nations of mankind. And he goes into this sermon. And I really can't think of a more appropriate sermon for our country as we go into 2017 than this sermon from Paul. We're just going to look at a couple of verses. But the reason it's so relevant is because I believe that we're living in a country that's forgotten God or is in the process of forgetting God. And I'm a little passionate about this because I just lived for 7 years in a country in Central Asia that was part of the former Soviet Union, a country that had forgotten God for 70 years. 70 years of atheism under communism. And I've seen some of the disastrous effects. There's a well-known man that came out of that system. His name is Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He wrote One Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich. He wrote a number of books. And he made it his life goal to study the Russian Revolution. And he tells a story that when he was a child, he would hear his father and other men in the village in Russia where he grew up. He would hear them talking, and they would say, "Men have forgotten God. That is why all this has happened." And after being a prisoner of the Gulag in the country where we lived for 4 years, and after studying the Russian Revolution, after reading hundreds of books, after writing books about it, he said, 50 years later, he said, "If I were asked today to formulate as concisely as possible the main cause of the ruinous revolution that swallowed up some 60 million of our people, I could not put it more concisely than to repeat, men have forgotten God. That is why all this has happened." So as we go into 2017, let us not be a people that forgets God and falls into those ruinous consequences. That is what Paul is trying to address here, a people that didn't know God, didn't know their Creator, didn't know the eternal God. And so he starts out by saying, this is the God who made one man, and from one man, that one man, all nations of the earth were created. And we see here that the Christmas story really begins in Genesis, and that God made a man, Adam, to fill the earth with his glory through. And we know that in the garden, in the chapter later, sin enters the world, and instead of filling the earth with His glory, the earth gets filled with sin. And God has to judge that sin, and He judges it with a flood. And in the chapter after the flood, after Noah, He uses Noah to start over again in his family, to populate the earth. But instead of scattering around the earth, everyone stayed together, in kind of a herd mentality, and they decided, instead of scattering, we're going to build a big tower as kind of a monument to ourselves. God nixed that idea, and he said, instead of doing that, how about you all just speak different languages all at once? And then you're not going to hang out together anymore. And that's what happened. All the families spread over the earth in Genesis 11, and that was the birth of the nations. And then in the next chapter, God chooses one of those humble little nations. He chooses a guy named Abraham, and he says, "You're going to be the guy to announce me, Abraham, to the rest of the world." But Paul doesn't go there in this message. Let's go see what else he says in 26. To live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. And verses 28 and 29, he talks about the idolatry that the Athenians are in. And then in verse 30, he says, "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people should repent." Bobby talked about this last week. The guy to prepare the ministry of Jesus Christ, his name was John the Baptist, and this was his message, that everyone needs to repent. And that means that we need to change our minds towards God. change our minds about our sin. Repentance is agreeing with God about my sin. Because like Adam, we have this tendency to justify ourselves and to blame it on the other guy. It was my upbringing. It was my sisters. I grew up with older sisters. I know about that. It was, and we have a million things to blame our sin on, but repentance is saying, no, God, it's me. It's me. I own it. And you're not saved by repentance alone, but I call repentance the ambulance that gets you to the hospital. Who should repent? Great verse, verse 30. All people, everywhere. Alright? Does that cover it? Does that catch you this morning? All people, everywhere. Whether you're from Pakistan or whether you're from Barstow, all people, everywhere, should repent. Whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Muslim, all people, everywhere, should repent. If you think that you don't need to repent because you're a Christian this morning, I want you to look at Revelation 2 and 3. We're not going to go there today, but there's a whole list, and that's the most repents that you get in the Bible is right there in those two chapters. Those are all for the church. Those are all for the church. Everyone, everywhere, should repent. Why should we repent? Verse 31. Because, great connective word, it's going to tell us why. Because God has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. And now we're getting back to that idea of your judge. God has to judge the world because God is just. And we get justice, we understand justice, when we get nailed, when we experience injustice. But we don't understand our own injustice that we inflict on others, that we inflict on God. But Paul says it doesn't matter. God is going to judge the world. And the way He's going to do it is He's going to do it righteously. He's not a judge that can be bought off. He's not a judge that's going to overlook any part of the law. And part of the reason that Jesus came was to enunciate very clear what God's standards were with regard to the law. First, God gave us the law so that we could see where we stood. And then Jesus, in His interpretation, showed us God's standard. He said, you say that it's a sin to murder, you're guilty of murder, but I tell you, if you're angry with your brother, you're guilty. You're guilty. You say that it's a sin to commit adultery, but I tell you, if you lust after a woman, you're guilty. You're guilty. The law says, don't steal. Don't steal. Charlie, who was up here, a few months ago, we were practicing a gospel presentation, how to share the gospel with people. And he said, so, Dave, it says don't steal. That means if your mom says you can't eat a cookie and you eat the cookie, you've stolen. He said, well, that's good, Charlie. He goes, yeah, that always gets me. See, I grew up as a self-righteous little kid under the hand of older sisters. And I get that. And, yeah, I've stolen. I'm a murderer. I'm a thief. I'm an adulterer. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And the only way I know I need a Savior is because I know that there's a judgment coming and that each of my sins will be judged. And the Bible says, and this is the worst news of all in this Christmas message, is that the wages of sin is death row. It's the death penalty. It is spending an eternity without God. The wages for any sin, the wages for any point of the law that you've broken, is the death penalty. God is a righteous judge. And then we see, who is the judge that God's appointed for this? Who's the judge? Here comes the judge. Who's the judge? Verse 31. Through a man whom he has appointed. I wonder who that is. Well, we get a good clue here. Having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Who's the guy that rose from the dead? Who's the guy that God rose from the dead? Who's the guy that Paul went and preached about everywhere and got kicked out of these cities? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming as a judge. And if you don't get that, you're not going to understand the good news about Christmas. Jesus Christ is coming as a judge. And that's what Paul is saying to these guys in Athens. They're like, they don't even know Paul. He's this Jew's come and he's preaching and they've got all these idols around. And now he's talking about a judge that God has raised from the dead. We generally preach resurrection. We preach the resurrection is God's power over sin and death. And that's true, but that's not how Paul preached it. Paul says, you guys want to know who the judge is? The judge is the guy that God raised from the dead. That's the power that he has, and that's how you can know that he's going to come, he's going to judge y'all. So you better be ready for that. How do we get ready for that? We need to repent. I need to turn toward God and realize that I am in big trouble. So that's why on Christmas, you're either celebrating the birthday of your judge or the birthday of your Savior. And it's kind of weird to celebrate the birthday of your judge. I don't know if, let's say you have a friend who's a judge. I don't know any judges, but they're out there. So, and they all have birthdays. So you go, you have dinner with your friend. He's the only one there. He doesn't have a lot of friends. He's a judge. And, apologize for that. But you're looking at his mantle, and you're looking at his birthday cards, and you see this group of cards is kind of separated from all the other cards, and you start reading like, go get him, judge, we love you, you know, and you're like, so who are these cards from? He says, that's a special group of friends. Those are all people that I've put onto death row. That would be weird. That would be weird. And I think it's very weird that you're celebrating the birthday of Jesus Christ if he's your judge. I think that's weird. It's just what I think. Well, it would be kind of a cruel thing for me to end this message here. So let's go to the other verses that you're more familiar with, talking about Jesus' coming. Luke 2. 4 through 14. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Praise God for some good news today. There's a Savior. There's a Savior for us. For those who repent and understand their need their sinfulness, there's a Savior. Before He comes as a judge, He came to save us, showing that He doesn't want us to die under the wages of sin. It's not His desire. And so He came first to be our Savior. But He's coming back as a judge. And so don't make the mistake of thinking that when Jesus comes back, it will be Jesus gentle and mild, born in this manger. Read the book of Revelation to talk about how He's coming back. He's coming back on a horse with a sword coming out of His mouth. And there's going to be blood, and it's not going to be pretty, but it's going to be right. Because we all know that this world cannot go on the way it's going. This world requires judgment, and it will be judged. But first He said, first, wait. I'm going to come not as your judge. How did He come? Came to a poor, unwed girl named Mary. He was born with animals because there wasn't any motel rooms available that night. Your nativity scene may have a stable, but you know, it's interesting. I remember talking about stables. I wonder if that's just something we put, well, at least you had a little kind of rustic thing here. I worked on ranches in Livermore. I never saw a little house for the animals to eat in. It's just a feed box and a circle with hay around it. And He could have just been born on the side of the road. I don't know. But it wasn't pretty. And they didn't have a crib. They didn't have a stroller. They didn't have baby toys. And they had to put Him somewhere, so they put Him in the feed box. Well, honey, here, I've got some. Let me just make it all nice. Sorry, honey. It's a feed box for our son. It wasn't Kaiser. It was a feed box. It was a feed box. And the people that came were some shepherds who were out by themselves with their sheep. And God chose to announce the greatest news, the greatest message. And He said, who is this message for? So this message is for all the people, verse 10. All the people. Just like everyone everywhere needs to repent. The good news, which is of great joy, is for all the people. And we know from Matthew that some magi came by. Some wise men from the east following a star. And they presented gifts of gold, myrrh, and frankincense. And that gift of myrrh is something that they used to embalm people. And it was a picture of how this baby was going to die. He was going to die on a cross as the Lamb of God. And that takes care of our justice problem. Because how can we, who are sinners, have fellowship with a righteous God without suffering the penalty of eternal death? How can that happen? How can a just God let us do that? It's a question you should ask yourselves. Because the answer is in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who was put up on that cross, where He took my sin, He took our sin, He took the sins of the world on Himself so that we could die to sin and live to righteousness. He paid that penalty. Being God-man, He's the only one that came into the world without sin. Sometimes when I'm sharing this, I say, what if I just like ran out into the street and got hit by a car because I loved you? Did that take care of your sin problem? I say, no. Why not? Because of your sin. That's right. I can't pay for any of your sin. I got my own sin. But Jesus had no sin. Spotless Lamb of God. God put it, the Jews through sacrifice, so that they would figure out that when He died and when He was called the Lamb of God, He took my sin. He was buried. as we saw in the picture of baptism, he went under, and then he rose again. And now sin is done. It's dealt with. It's paid for. It's canceled. So that we can come to Christ as our Savior and not our judge. And that's a much better birthday to celebrate. How can I know Him as my Savior and not my judge? Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. There's that word again. He came as a Savior. We need salvation. If we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord, what does that mean? That means that He is the boss. Up to now, I've been living life my own way. I've been living life like a sheep. Isaiah said all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. I've just been going wherever sin leads me. But now, Lord, I realize you've given me this gift. God so loved the world that He gave. Christmas is about giving. He gave the best gift. He gave His Son to be my sacrifice. So since you did that, my life is yours. I want to follow you because I realize that's the best way to live. Anyway, that's how I was made. So I should do that. That's what Lord means. It means giving Him your life. Are you willing to accept His gift? Are you willing to follow Him today? It's my prayer that we all walk out of here this morning with Jesus as our Savior and not our judge. And you have the decision to make that happen because God doesn't force His love on anyone. We have to come to Him. He doesn't force it because love is not about force. We all understand that. We get that. I have to choose to love or it's not love. And so we have to choose to accept the gift. He's not going to force anything on anybody. Yesterday I was walking down the street in our neighborhood. I saw a guy with a flat tire. He had a cell phone. He looked a little nervous, as most people do in Oakland with flat tires. And I say, hey, can I help you? And he's like, no thanks, my cousin's coming. I said, are you sure? I mean, you got the jack, you got the spare, we could get to work right now. He goes, no thanks, my cousin's coming. So I said, okay, have a Merry Christmas. I started to walk away. He said, actually, and I turned around and I helped him fix his tire. He had to ask for help. I can't, like, just start taking your jack and your spare. And then, you know, who? God doesn't force His love on anyone. We have to come to Him. We have to repent, make that turn and say, yes, God, I got it. I figured it out. Your law says that I'm guilty, and I'm confessing that. I'm confessing that I need Jesus as my Savior. I understand what He did. I get it. And I want to thank You. I was talking with my nephew a few months ago, and I said, since I'm your crazy missionary uncle, I have to ask, how's your relationship with God? And he said, it's good. I'm in a Bible study. He said, that's great. Do you know Jesus is Lord? I said, no, I haven't made that commitment. It's good to count the cost. It's good to count the cost. But remember, until you've made that commitment, He's not your Savior. He's your judge. Praise God, it's not too late. As we go into 2017, it's not too late to make the turn. It's not too late to call out to God and tell Him you want to follow Him. You figured out what Jesus did for you, and you want that, just like these guys. My favorite Christmas, one of my favorite Christmas songs says, and the angels filled the sky. All of heaven wondered why. Why a king should choose to be a baby born to die. Be a baby born to die. to break the chain of guilt and sin, to draw us close and pull us in. I pray this Christmas you would pull into God's love and find out who your Savior is. Lord God, we praise you. We praise you for what you've done in the lives of the guys that got baptized today. We praise you for your great love, which sent your Son to be our Savior. Lord God, help us pay attention to this, Lord. Help us not lose it in the presence. Help us, God, not to forget. Help us to cling to you as our Savior. May your Spirit be working among every person here, God, that we could cling to you and understand and appreciate the gift and grab it for ourselves. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Merry Christmas.